Hey, so before we introduce our guest for today, we are doing something for a 20-second episode that we haven't done since episode one. Today we have a guest co-host. She's an avid, yes, give me the excitement. Wait, hold on. Yes.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
She's an avid Shawn Mendes super fan. She's a still photographer and works for publicity in the Van City entertainment industry. And most of you know her as the host of the Hangout podcast. To all of you who thought we were each other's competitors or whatever, joke's on you. Everybody, welcome to the podcast, Sid Wong. Hold on. Yes.
Thank you. Thank
Welcome.
you.
Welcome.
This does not humble me at all. Thank you, Anthony.
Of course. This is a new effect that I just discovered on the recording platform that we record in. Now I can put audio effects. So I'm pretty sure you guys can't hear anything we're doing, but there's sound effects all around. So that's why it's like funny for us.
You can just imagine it.
Yeah, exactly. How are you? Mental health checkup with you first. How are we feeling?
Oh my. I'm excited. I'm excited to have like this opportunity and thank you for giving it to me and
Of
just having
course.
this moment because I feel like both of us just get so excited talking and telling stories. So I feel like this is just going to be what did we say? A chaotic but fun episode where we'll both get to like talk about everything.
Yes, and it's even more fun because, okay, so like give you context to you guys. Sid and I have known each other since 2020 when we both kind of like started our podcast. You were already doing all the things. I was freshly new to it. And then we both embarked on High School Musical without knowing that each other was going to embark on High School Musical. It was kind of just like our brains were just like that wired. And
I think
then,
it's like the inner theater kid. The inner theater kid was just like, oh, we have to. Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely.
Show that merch.
Promo. So we were just like so in sync on that. And then obviously we interviewed the same people, obviously, from the show. And then it came down to some of the actors that we didn't get to interview with Press Junket. And Andrew's a very busy dude. And so I got the opportunity to have him on the podcast. And then I know that Sid really wanted to have him on, and I know that your viewers really wanted him to come on the hangout. So I was just kind of like, but wait, I can we can do a crossover. Like the Disney Channel fan in me was like, a crossover, sure. So now Sid is here with us.
I feel like the fans were
Yay!
also just like, you guys have to do a collab episode too. And there was like that recap thing too.
Yes. Well, I'm still dying. Like I'm friends with Adam, abnormally Adam, which those fans have been mentioning that. I'm friends with Adam. I'm friends with Jacob at this point as well. We've been messaging for a little while now. He's out in LA. He's just the best. And he just started watching the podcast and he was like, wait, these are so good. So like, shout out to Jacob. You're literally the best. And so I would love to do like maybe an After Dark episode. The fans have been wanting us to do an After Dark again. So maybe like everybody together. Unfiltered, we just talk about the whole season.
A nice little like recap.
Now, I'm really happy to have you in the passenger seat for today's episode because not only is this like continuing the High School Musical fantasy we've been serving for the last couple of
Oh my
months,
gosh, yeah.
but also, Sid and I are avid, obnoxious, annoying theater kids, and this has been a
Can
recurring
confirm.
theme, right? So, I'm super excited to have our guest for today.
Or do you think we should bring them into the room now? Like, I think we're missing
Yeah,
someone.
I think we're missing something. I think like we need to go drive through the suburbs. Olivia, hi, how are you? And we need to go drive through the suburbs, pick up a little someone, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Quick detour. So, yeah, like I love that steering wheel. Shut up, I love that. Oh my God. All right, so today we have on the show an executive producer, writer, singer, songwriter, actor extraordinaire, TikTok phenomenon, honorary French person, unofficial vice president of the Disney fan club. This guy can rock a blue polo shirt better than any Best Buy employee. Everyone, welcome to the show, Andrew Barthelman.
Thank you.
The net proceeds from this episode will directly benefit the Actors Fund. Make sure you check out the description below and click on their website to find out more.
Incredible intro! Thank you so much!
Of course, deserving.
And so basically, Anthony always has this tradition that he has on his podcast. He always does the mental health checkup. So, Andrew, how are you doing? Let's discuss it.
I love that. I'm doing great. Everything's good right now. I'm a little stressed. Definitely, I'm working on like a lot of different things right now that I can't even talk about some of them, which is kind of exciting. But I'm working on a lot of different things, and you'll be hearing about them soon. But so I'm stressed, but it's a good stress. It's like a really nice stress, and I'm taking care of myself, so I'm great. Thank you very much for asking.
That's what we like hear, taking care of ourselves. That's a very 2020 thing now, and I feel
it's
like
an extremely 2020 thing. It's like we have to. We can't. I feel like I'm taking things for granted so much less now than I was before, and I'm really like keeping myself in check with that. So, yeah, it's been good.
Yeah,
100%. Before we dive into like all the Dear Evan Hansen nitty gritty, High School Musical, the musical, the series, you hung up the blue polo at the end of January 2020, and then production for High School Musical, the series started mid-February. Antoine, the lovable foreign exchange student from North High, was specifically written for you. Can you kind of like walk us through how that happened and that journey?
Yeah, it's a pretty funny series of events. So it actually goes back to when they were first casting the show. They apparently had wanted me to audition for the show. I have no idea for what character or if there was a specific character in mind, but I had done like a general sort of Disney Channel audition that a lot of kids my age, would do around that time, around like 2018, around when I was 16. And so, they liked me and they wanted me to audition for the show, but I was doing Dear Evan Hansen, so I couldn't. Cut to the launch of Disney Plus and this show coming out, and I am absolutely obsessed, like super fan, crazy obsessed, both. Watching it all the time.
All of us.
Mm-hmm. I know. Right. This is like a homecoming for me to be talking to you both. But I was obsessed, so I called my agent and I was like, "Is this something? Should I try to be part of this universe? I know I'm like leaving the show soon because it was, you know, the fall and I was leaving in January." So she said, "Let me make a call," and what the response was that they hadn't written the season yet. They were still writing the season, but they loved that I was interested, so they were going to keep me in mind. And sure enough, a few months later, around like right after I think I had gotten out of the show, like it had to be January or February sometime, I got a tape for this character, this French exchange student, and it was like the greatest thing I'd ever read. I was so happy, and I was the only person that they asked to tape. They wrote this character for me, and they just wanted to make sure that I could do the accent and could do it, and that it wasn't like a huge mistake on their part. But I auditioned, I sent in a tape, and I found out I was cast just a couple weeks later, and I was supposed to go out and shoot in July of 2020, and then something pandemic. Pretty crazy happened where there was a murder virus, and so I ended up not going until the fall. But honestly, it was like the greatest first job back, and there were just so many little like funny moments. Like the whole cast came to see me in Dear Evan Hansen, but they couldn't get backstage, so like we never got to meet, and it was before the show came out, and I became so close with Larry, and Larry was like, "What are you doing next?" And I was like, "I mean, hopefully your TV show, but I don't know yet, you know, all these things." So it was, I can't believe it worked out as like beautifully and as wonderfully as it did. It's really been like the greatest joy.
That's crazy.
It did. And as a French person, I'm French Canadian, so whenever they announce a French character, I know, I'm always like, will they butcher this? Will I feel offended watching it? And I didn't. You did a great job.
I was very nervous about that. Good. I'm really glad. That makes me very happy. I was nervous. Good.
Of course. It was endearing. It was very endearing.
Oh, now, thank you very much.
Yes, of course. Of course. Now, I've also become kind of friends with Larry. So Larry was your friend before High School Musical, the musical, the series. You talk about meeting the actors, and it was like on first day on set for you was kind of like meeting the characters like a kid would meet like a Disney princess at Disney World. Like you're kind of meeting them as their characters and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it hard for you to like dissociate the actor to the character in the beginning and kind of just like being in awe of the character, even though they're like individual people?
I think that because my character is so silly, I didn't really have to. And the first stuff that I was shooting anyway, was really just me and Olivia Keegan. So even when I was meeting everyone, when I was acting, I just got to be with her, and she's such a genius that she makes it so easy. It was once we got to like the episode 7 stuff where we're doing the mob song and all that, definitely there were moments where I was like, oh my God. But it honestly just like fueled my adrenaline, I think, which was so necessary for that day of like crazy dancing and stuff. But yeah, I think I didn't have to work that hard, to be honest, in this character. Like, I wish I could say I really like went method for this and like went to France for a couple weeks. But it was just fun. And that was all that they wanted from me. And that was all that I wanted to do, especially like coming out of the pandemic, especially knowing what the show is. I think like what I loved so much about the first season was how self-aware it is, and the fact that my character exists is proof that it's going even further in that direction now, which I think is so great, in addition to having higher stakes. And obviously in these last couple of episodes, these like beautiful heartfelt moments that can balance out the self-awareness. I think they know exactly what they're doing. They're doing the most incredible job.
Shout out to the writers.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Those writers have kept us on our toes for sure.
Yeah.
You talked about meeting the cast after, because you guys didn't get to do that backstage thing over on the Hangout, my other podcast that we do. This is a little collab episode, but the episode with Matt, he talked about fanboying. You guys fanboying so hard over each other.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard did you fanboy over the eye candy of High School Musical, the musical, the series?
Oh my God.
Yes, go off.
I mean, I lost my mind. I was literally quoting the show at I was quoting their characters, and it was to the point that I didn't even realize I was doing it. And they didn't I would be like, that's sorry. That's something you said in episode 4, season 1. Like, it was really really I was doing that, and people would be like, oh my God, like, what is wrong with you? You know, it just kept coming out. So yeah, I was losing my mind. And just to, I think part of it too was with Dear Evan Hansen, there were a lot of like adults, and it was this very adult thing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there were a lot of younger people too, but I was very much the youngest, being 16 and the next oldest person that was in the cast full time being, you know, in their 20s. So to be with kids who, you know, I'm 19 now, to be like pretty much smack dab in the middle of the ages of all of them, and to have like peers my own age that we could, you know, play games between scenes and really, really talk about stuff and connect, was like the most amazing thing ever. That period, like all the circumstances leading up to that, made it just so, so wonderful. And I'm so close with all of them now, or a good chunk of them at least, and really all of them. So it's the best.
That's amazing. So verdict, do we need to get you some Tiger Beat, Joshua Bassett, Matt Cornett posters for your Harvard dorm room?
Yes. 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 I actually, now that you say that, I think I need that. I think I actually need like a Joshua Bassett cardboard cutout in my Harvard dorm room. That's the funniest thing ever. Oh my God.
That'd be so cool.
The cardboard cutout, it would be iconic.
That's really funny. I know someone actually who has a cardboard cutout of Josh, and I had him make her a video.
Oh my gosh.
Which was very nice of him to do. But yeah.
Should we expose that person? No,
what
we're not
going to
expose that person. Should we expose that person?
No, I don't want to out that person. I feel really bad. But the video of her watching it is like the most, it makes my heart so happy, because she like cries at this one video that Josh and I made. Like, it's so, so sweet. It's really nice. And her sister, who's closer to my age, is like just as obsessed with Matt. And so I had Matt send a video, and it's like,
oh my gosh,
craziest, funniest videos I have on my phone. He like really committed to...
love.
So you need Josh on one side of the room and then Matt on the other side of the room, and then you'll go team Josh, team Matt, team EJ, team Ricky.
Mm-hmm. I think I do. Yeah, it's funny. I've talked to both of them about visiting me at school, and I have to be like, just sit right there for a second. I just need to clean some stuff up really fast.
Well, by the way, congratulations on getting into Harvard. Like, what?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Any Disney Channel character on any TV show, their dream was to go to Harvard, and you get to experience that, I feel.
You get to live the dream. I know, and Antoine probably didn't even want to go to college, so that's unfortunate.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah, I know. I'm. Thank you very much. I'm so, so excited.
Of course. What are you studying it in?
So there's a concentration called Theater, Dance, and Media. It's fairly new, but it's writing, dramaturgy, directing, puppeteering, like virtual reality storytelling. It's basically storytelling the major, which is like exactly what I want to be doing. I'm so ridiculously excited.
I should have worked harder in school. That sounds amazing. Oh my gosh.
I'm really excited. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you, wait, hold on. So you did Dear Evan Hansen for a year, got the grades to get into Harvard. All the while you were doing all of that. That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Of course. It was tough. It was tough. That year was absolutely the hardest thing I will ever have to do. Ideally, I can't imagine anything ever being harder than that. So I'm so thankful for every second of it.
And oh, I'm assuming now with like, go off.
No, there's a delay. Girl. Go ahead. Take the wheel. Come on.
I'm like, but now I guess COVID is lighting up. So you're able to actually go to Harvard and do it in person and experience that full like in-person college experience.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I took a gap year this last year. Cause I was like, I have so many seeds I'm planting right now that it doesn't feel worth it to me to be doing college on Zoom. That's like so the opposite of this experience of, you know, semi normalcy that right. I want to have. So yeah, but it's basically assuming everything continues to stay under control and go as planned. They're planning on completely fully reopening and everyone will be vaccinated and it'll be the best feeling in the whole world.
Oh my God. I'm so jealous. I'm living vicariously through Andrew right now.
I'm living vicariously through me in a month. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
Oh yeah. Well, congrats and best of luck at Harvard. That's like the coolest sentence I've ever said. So
thank you.
We're all doing great things.
Thank you so much.
I want to take us back to Utah. You had posted so many little like Instagram story parties on social media with the cameos of like Olivia Rodrigo, Olivia Rose, Roman, Larry. How chaotic were those nights? Give us the rundown. What can you tell us?
Yeah, it was fun. We kind of really Olivia Keegan and I really wanted to act as hosts as much as we could. So we had people over all the time to play Jackbox games and just kind of hang out. So they were chaotic, definitely. It was just kind of people coming in and out and we would just play games and talk and hang out. And to get to know these people, I mean, they're amazing. I feel really so close to all of those folks. So they're the best. And actually the last time when we went to shoot the last episode that Olivia Keegan and I are in, I was there and I heard someone come into the room next to me and she texted me what room she was in and we had conjoined rooms. Like I knocked on the door of, we had one, like two rooms. So that became the party location.
Oh yeah. Because, the chaos. Yeah.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. It was like the greatest thing in the world. Whenever I needed a friend, I just knocked on my door inside my room. It was very nice. She and I became like so close. She's the best.
That is so wholesome.
So wholesome. I need new friends. Yeah.
No, when we did our episode with Olivia, she was telling me just like watch Andrew in any scene. Just watch what he's doing in the background because he's doing anything and everything in every scene, like every single take.
She's the best, and she's like truly unbelievable. Like I would just look at her between takes and be like, I don't think you're a human being. I think maybe you're just like an Emmy person. Like it's right. Very, very ridiculous. Because it's funny. I was very much like, I think A, coming from a theater background, B, being like my character being what it is, I would really do different things every take so that Tim had options and the whole team had options. And I was like just having fun with everyone, which is like very important to Tim and the whole team that we're having fun while everything is happening, that the energy is light. So I would sort of have ideas in my head of what I was going to do, but it would change so much all day. Whereas Olivia Keegan would like print out her script and have all these notes all over and like rehearse it for days and then come to set and be perfect every single take and do exactly the same thing, which she's a genius. She's like so proficient at acting. She has mastered the craft. But B, I think the two of us doing those two things, we balanced each other out so wonderfully. That she could be this very calculated, conniving character, and I could be this very, like, I'm just here to see where things go, and you know, like, that was kind of
offensive.
And I think I think that's why our chemistry works so well, not to mention that she's just, like, the nicest person ever, and we became so close, and it's crazy how well it worked out that we were such, like, kindred spirits, I feel like.
I was saying Antoine is, like, the LeFou to her Gaston.
Exactly. Absolutely. I saw that somewhere and I was like, that makes sense, because obviously we had gotten the like Sharpay and Ryan comparison, but I think we're much closer to LeFou and Gaston, because that would being Sharpay and Ryan would imply a level of autonomy that Antoine does not have and does not need. So I think it's absolutely LeFou and Gaston for the two of us. Yeah.
For sure.
I guess, okay, we're going back to Broadway. Walk us through like the state of mind of winning the Jimmy Award to the first day of rehearsals to your first bow on Broadway to like on as Evan.
Yeah. A lot of things happened, but also yeah, not I'm really. Sure. It all happened so quickly. The Jimmys are still like when I go on podcasts like this or just like do things and it's talked about is like where I came from, you know, the beginning for me. That's still the craziest thing in the world that I won that at 16, that memory is so ingrained. That was like the happiest I remember ever being was standing there in complete disbelief. I remember that night I was walking around at the after party with a plate of mac and cheese, like literally shaking because there were just all these people coming up to me. And this guy, one of the students, their dad comes up to me and goes, "Stop acting so surprised," and walks away. And I was like, okay, back to the real world now. But so yeah, it was crazy. The Jimmy Awards were sponsored that year by Dear Evan Hansen. We went to see Dear Evan Hansen that week. And Stacey Minich, the lead producer, was in the audience. Tara Rubin, the casting director, was a judge. And apparently, as the legend has it, and I have no reason to believe that this isn't true, Stacey Mindich texted Tara at intermission of the Jimmys before I'd even gone up to my finalists and said, "We need to get that kid in the room. He's Evan."
Wow.
And the talent you had, the power.
It wasn't so much that. I mean, thank you. But I think it was, I just so was that character. Like, I think so much, and I was just thinking about this the other day. How many things had to happen? Like, I had to be born on the day I was born, and this show had to be conceived the second it was conceived, and it had to be Ben, and it had to be Taylor for me to be there, because I really connected to that character so much and could embody that so easily, that for that to be my first job on Broadway at the age that it was, there's no chance I would be sitting here talking to you if all of those things didn't happen in that order. So it's completely ridiculous. So then...
It's kismet.
I got an email to audition a couple days after the Jimmys for the Evan Jared Connor understudy, what Roman did, actually.
Right.
And I was freaking out. And it's very funny because I am not a Connor. Roman can pull off Connor. I cannot pull off Connor. But I go in. And what I learned pretty quickly was that I had effectively skipped the entire audition process. They had skipped me right to the end of the line to audition in front of the entire creative team. So these are a bunch of names that maybe mean nothing to anyone, but it's theatrical legends. It's Michael Greif, Benj Pasek, Justin Paul,
to name
those
a few.
Two names, obviously, we know. Steven Levinson, Stacey Minich, Alex Lacamoire, who's like, I was losing my absolute mind. And I walked in the room and I was like, "Hi, hello everyone." And I was so nervous. And Michael Greif goes, "Hello, Andrew. Thank you for coming. Would you like to sing a little bit of Waving for us?" And I said, "Yes, please. Thank you so much." And everyone laughed behind the table. And I go, "I'm just really excited to be here." And I think that that's when I got the job. I think that was the moment that I got the job. And they tell the story of being a little weepy, in fact, during that, because they needed an Evan. And I went in the room and I was an Evan. And that was it. Tis Taylor was leaving. And that was it. So, taking my first bow, I think from that moment on, audition being cast on, it was the like feeling of your whole life changing and getting everything you ever wanted and the immense anxiety that comes with that. Like, it was like the greatest feeling in the world. And I was so grateful for every single second, but also absolutely terrified for every single second. I think about it and still, like, I think I had a nightmare actually about it, like, relatively recently. Like, I still get absolutely, like, it's still so scary, but also knowing that nothing I do will ever be as hard, and that, like, if I can do that, I can do anything is really, really, really reassuring. So it was the greatest experience of my life, the hardest experience of my life, and the happiest experience of my life. Those people that I got to work with are lifelong family, so it was the best.
That's amazing. I'm genuinely curious. You mentioned Waving Through a Window.
Yeah.
Now, I read somewhere that when you heard Waving Through a Window for the very first time, you mentioned, I want this show to flop so I can sing Waving Through a Window at every audition like beyond that. So my genuine curiosity is to Mark Timonelli telling you you should wish for the show to succeed so you could star in it. How much do you think you've changed as a person and as a performer from your first curtain call to your last in January?
Oh my God. I think sort of the biggest thing was I was never trying to do an impression of Ben or the guys who came before me, nor was I ever trying to do the opposite of the guys who came before me. I was just trying to do my own thing, but it was figuring out what that was. And I think something I never expected to be able to say that it was simple. I think knowing the role and seeing the guys who had come before me, specifically Ben, who was doing so much so beautifully, I was like, I have to be showing everyone how hard this is. You know, there was this, this like probably a level of ego thing or just maybe like anxiety and being terrified, but being able to simplify it and do nothing because I am that character, you know, and just kind of to be able to embody that so easily and slip into it. That is immeasurable. I mean to really set everything aside and just listen as that character and go for the ride rather than trying to control the journey was the greatest lesson ever. And there's so much that comes with that too. I think my confidence as a performer has completely changed. I think I'm so much more confident than I was going into that. And just a general technical proficiency that is new from working with Liz Kaplan, the incredible vocal consultant on the production, to, you know, everyone who touched that production, every single person I went on stage with taught me so much. So I think I'm not only a different performer, I'm a completely different person. I think I'm a more empathic person and from, you know, being a character like Evan every night, but also meeting people like Evan at the stage door every night and hearing their stories as well and seeing how it impacted them. I'm absolutely massively forever changed for the better.
I'm forgetting that I'm interviewing. I'm just like taking everything.
I know. I'm getting emotional over here.
That's so nice.
Dear Evan Hansen is by far my favorite musical. I told Roman this. Yeah. I read the book. I've listened to the soundtrack an unhealthy amount of times. Mm-hmm. I have the merch. Waving through a window is mentioned maybe in 75% of the 21 episodes we put out of this podcast. I force all my guests who sing to sing Dear Evan Hansen out of selfish reasons. Out of selfish reasons. Now, I'm curious. I read that Alex Boniello once said to you that everybody wants their dream to happen 2 to 3 times a week, right? Yeah. Because it's a lot to take in, and Dear Evan Hansen is not an easy show to perform whatsoever.
No, it's not. No.
So you had 16, 8 shows a week for a year.
Yeah.
How did you keep such a... your head on your shoulders, how did you stay so humble? And because, you know, I just look at myself, like, you know, whenever you're in a project for a really long time, even though like you're super passionate about it and you love it, you're like, oh, I'm tired, oh my God, I don't want to do this, like today I don't feel like it. And you were doing school at the same time. How did you stay so humble and stay so like excited to be on stage every night?
It's literally, you have to deliberately at every second put things into perspective, and I would take one moment every single night, because I was such a super fan of the show, like you, it was my favorite musical. It still is, you know, I think it's perfect. And having seen it so many times, I'd seen it like 15 times after I was cast, I saw it another
that's
part of it, but like but I'd seen it so many times, so to be doing it, I would really take a moment every night to be like, oh my God, this is happening. And I think it's just that I wanted it so bad for so long. And there were so many kicks in the ass. I don't know if I can say that. There were so many kicks in the butt.
Go ahead. All the asses. Come on.
There were so many kicks in my butt. Sorry, Disney. That really helped, you know. It was the incredible team, Michael Greif, our amazing director, and all of our associate directors who were constantly, really, really constantly noting to a point that was terrifying and sometimes overwhelming, but it got us exactly where it needed to be because he's, you know, a nebulous genius. But, you know, there were so many things that happened that reminded me just how lucky I was, and one of them, not to bring the mood like massively down, but was, of course, my mom passed while I was in the show, and I think I actually got an email from Justin Paul while she was sick that said, like, your dream happened when you were 16 years old and she got to see it. That's not an accident, you know, that everything happened exactly the way that it needed to. So there were so many just cosmic things that I couldn't help but be grateful. But of course, sometimes it also was hard because I was doing, you know, 5-6 shows a week as Evan. I started as 5 and then increased to 6 when summer started because I wasn't in school anymore. But 6 is the standard Evan schedule. And I was doing, it's a lot to do every day. So it was just staying committed and staying committed to being grateful, a deliberate commitment to being grateful and practicing that as part of the occupation.
Right. I am genuinely curious, that part you played it so beautifully. One of my biggest regrets is not seeing you in the show. So I have to ask, do you have any plans on coming back to the character if they would ask you?
Not particularly. I would happen to sincerely hope that the next many Evans, if not forever, are people of color. I think that is such a beautiful way to tell the story. I'm so excited about Jordan going back. And I think as much as I loved every second of this, I think I'm and as much as I maybe would one day love to do it again, I think right now from my perspective, I want to move on, I think, just for me, because it was so hard, and I want to take the lessons I've learned and apply them everywhere, you know, rather than just putting all my eggs right there. As much as I would love to do it, maybe even for a little bit one day, and I know we've sort of talked about it before with them, but I think the show is going to really practice moving in a new direction, which I'm like deeply, deeply excited about.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah, I hope. Oh, I hope. God. And if not, you know, we'll see. I know they'll make all the right decisions because they're all such wonderful people. So I'm excited to see what happens. And I'm excited for Jordan to come back. I mean, I didn't get please. To see him. So I'm so excited.
I'm going to see him in December. So I'm super pumped about that. Uh-huh.
That's amazing.
Take me
oh
with
my
you.
God.
Take me
oh,
with
yeah.
You.
Sid, making plans after this. We're going.
He ruined my dressing room, for the record. And you can tell him this for me.
I will.
Friends, yeah, I wanted to talk about your signing off vlog video. Where's my Jimmy? Where's my Jimmy? You, Roman, Jordan, all yes. you guys, and all of you guys are literally in this new season of High School Musical. The parallels, the
crossovers, yes.
I was just watching clips from this video yesterday because I'm working on something with Taylor Trench right now, actually. Ooh. And I was like, I just need to show my friends what a genius this guy is, because that sequence, just this is now I'm just going to go on a small tangent about Taylor Trench.
Please.
Because he's the greatest actor of all time. And that whole sequence with him and the birds, I came in and I said, here's what's going to happen. I have these birdhouses. We're going to say, like, hey, do you have any birds? And you're going to say, no, but maybe one will come, and then one will come, and then we'll take it, and then we'll go, and it'll be fine. Everything else was improvised by Taylor. So the whole thing of him screaming, like, I'm going to burn all your houses down, and like all, like everything, like, was nobody ever told him to do that. I could not. There are moments where it zooms in on just his face because I'm right off screen, like, laughing so hard. Yeah, so that was a joy to make. That actually happened because I had done my Behind the Stripes vlog series for Broadway.com,
right?
And one of the episodes we did was a murder mystery episode, and I got to edit it. I like asked if I could edit it, and they said yes. And Stacey Minich, our producer, was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. I need you to do another one of these for when you're leaving the show, and I will give you the resources, and we will put it on the Dear Evan Hansen social channels. And so it just happened because she loved my stupid bits, and I really appreciate it.
Can confirm I died laughing while watching the whole entire thing.
Thank you very much.
My day.
There are some moments. I want to release a director's cut one day because there are some moments that got cut for time. One
Please.
Of my favorite jokes that didn't make it in, because Dan Mackey, who's in it, was wearing a VR headset the whole episode. And there was an establishing shot where it starts with him in VR, and he goes, wow, it's like I'm really there. And it goes into what he's seeing, and he's seeing himself as Alex Boniello in Alex's dressing room, like looking in the mirror. And it was so funny, and it didn't make it in for time. But one day, people will see that.
Please.
Oh, my gosh.
Debbie.
Petition.
Oh,
we
yeah.
got the petition going ready.
Change.org, baby. We are going on the website tonight.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Snyder Cut.
Oh, yeah.
The stupidest thing of all time. It's not that big a deal.
5-hour vlog.
Please.
Oh my gosh.
Before we jump into the next question, I have a question because I've never had friends who were on Broadway until Colleen Ballinger went on Broadway as Dawn for the first time. And I was shocked by the amount of rehearsals she had before taking on the character. She was just like, I ran through the show like once or twice, not in costume, mm-hmm. not on set, not with the rest of the cast whatsoever. And opening night was just like, we're here.
Yeah. First night. You don't rehearse nearly as much as you think you're going to. Especially right. with a show like Waitress, which they would have so many replacements, I feel right. like. Which is so smart. But with our show, it's funny, Taylor got a good couple months of rehearsal because the who played before me, who we were just talking about, mm-hmm. Taylor got a good couple months of rehearsal because they knew that he was going to get reviewed again. They knew that that was going to happen. Oh. They didn't know that that was going to happen for me. So I only got a few weeks, I would say probably 3 or 4 weeks of rehearsal, and only probably 2 or 3 with the full cast on stage.
Oh, wow.
Like only well. One in costume, maybe. Yeah. Those are called put-ins. It's when you do it on stage with all the stuff and the cast, but nobody else is in costume, only you. And it's quite right. embarrassing. Like, to be, yes. like, wearing the blue polo, and Michael Park is there in, like, a t-shirt and these tiny little glasses. And yeah. it was very ridiculous. But, it wasn't much. But for months before, I was training with Liz Kaplan, who I mentioned before, our vocal consultant on the show, and training right. with Ben Cohn for a while with the music, because we knew that that was going to be the biggest thing. My voice was still changing, you know? Mm. I was still... My larynx was dropping in. I was a growing boy. I was 16, so it was right. very much, you know, figuring out if we needed to change any keys, which we did at the beginning, and they pretty quickly went back, and, like, just seeing the best placements for everything, the kinds of warm-ups I need to do, how I would have to live as basically a monk for a year, and that was fine, you yeah. know. So it was a lot of rehearsal, but it really, in the grand scheme of things, was not nearly as much as you would expect. But we continued rehearsing, you know, if there was something that needed to be looked at or somebody felt uncomfortable with the scene, we would have a rehearsal even while right. we were doing the show, you know, we would have one during the day. So we kept it really, really fresh, especially as London was opening and Toronto mm. was opening, the other productions were opening, there were mm. like changes being made to certain choreography and stuff, so we were always on our toes.
That's why Broadway performers deserve all the props.
It's not easy. It's not easy. It is a rough gig, but you have to really want it. And that's what I find the most amazing thing, is that all these people that are here are the people who genuinely couldn't live without doing it and know how hard it is, but couldn't do anything else. I think that's so beautiful. There's nothing else like that.
Oh, out of it is. Out of all of the hats that you literally wear, singer, singer-songwriter, executive producer, actor, you also have your own production company, Snee Frog Productions.
Yeah.
I totally butchered that. I'm so sorry.
No, that was you. That was right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. That you started in middle school, or this is why you're in Harvard, okay, to raise money to benefit autism. Why did you choose autism as the charity and... the focus?
My brother's autistic, and so it was like the easiest pick in the world, though now we're very much expanding to just be a broader pairing, innovative theater with activism and advocacy, because as things continue to expand, we want to be flexible, and we want to be able to support as many causes as we can as we grow. So but you know, it started as my bar mitzvah project, and so it's like, what am I going to benefit? Easy, of course I'm going to support an autism organization, because I love my brother Scott. So yeah, it was an easy choice.
That meant so much to me because my grandmother is I don't know what's the word in English for this, but she works with kids who have autism, and they've always been the warmest, kindest kids I've ever met in my entire life. And so just to see that that's the cause that you chose for your production company, I was like, that's so great. And we were planning this interview yesterday, and I was like, I want to know why he picked autism. I love this. And I was looking everywhere. Yeah.
No, oh, my brother Scott is my favorite person in the world. And he's always been the most supportive of everything I've done. And so it was an easy, easy choice.
That's amazing. So as soon as the pandemic hit, you started doing Broadway Jackbox, Broadway Whodunit, Ratatouille, the TikTok musical. You went to Utah to film scenes for season 2 as Antoine. I'm genuinely curious. Do you think going from doing a year of just like shows all the time, events all the time, being so stimulated, to then a year where we're all in lockdown, like pushed you to like going into so many directions with like virtual events for the Broadway community? Like, you felt the need to be creatively stimulated?
oh my God, yeah. I now know what I do. You know, I'm someone who very much, I'm like a very social person. I surround myself with people. And so to then have no people, I was like, what do? Okay, I do everything. I distract myself. I think, you know, Broadway Jackbox started because it was literally the day after Broadway shut down.
Mm.
And I had just come back from, I was coming back from an audition or a rehearsal that was like the last thing that ever happened in New York City. and I was on the way home and I was like, I just want to play Jackbox with people right now. Like, I just want to get my friends on Zoom and play Jackbox. And I didn't even know what Zoom was yet, I don't think. But I was like, and you know what? I bet other people would want to see us do that. You know, I bet people would like it. And if nobody shows up, that's fine. But whoever shows up can show up. And I literally just like tweeted something and texted like everyone I knew. And like six people showed up, but then like a couple hundred people showed up online. And because there was no Broadway news at the time, you know, all the Broadway news outlets like covered that it was happening and all this stuff. So it just sort of was this perfect storm, that was, of course, the least perfect thing that could ever be considering the circumstances. But it was the next morning that I woke up to like 100 texts from Alex Boniello saying, we're going to do this every week. We're going to raise money for the Actors Fund and I'm going to help get people and we're going to do this. And then we did it twice a week for months. And it kept me sane. Just to have something, a constant every week was like simply the greatest gift. And also to get to see friends and play games, to get to play games with like heroes of mine, people who I'd never met before or never talked to, and have that be my introduction to them. Right. Was amazing. I think the pandemic very much acted as this great like equalizer of the busiest people in the world had right. nothing to do, just like all of us. So there was a while where nobody was doing anything. So they all came on our silly little dumb little show.
It was
and the
great.
Same thing happened with Whodunit and everything. I think I just was distracting myself as much as possible. And I'm thankful that I had the resources to do so.
I love tuning in.
Yeah.
To Broadway good. Jackbox. Oh my gosh. It was such like a dose of like musical theaterness during the pandemic. And I think we're all thankful as it's communal. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you for tuning in. It was, and thanks to everyone out there who watched and donated. It really made a huge difference for the Actors Fund and for Broadway for Racial Justice. So thank you guys. Thank you. It was so much fun. We'll dip back in there every now and then, but Alex and I are actually working on something like ridiculous right now that people are going to lose their minds about. And we're getting close to people knowing about it. So it'll be very fun. Yeah.
Now you're able to do real life performances with like the park maps. How, like live from Feinstein's 54 Below, how has that been? You had Josh on one of your shows.
I did.
Nights
yeah,
too.
Josh came.
What was that like?
That he's the best guy in the world. It literally happened because we were hanging out. We've been hanging out a lot since he's in New York now. And so we've been hanging out a bunch. And I was just telling him about it. He was like, I want to come be in it. I want to do something. And I was like, well, it's funny. I'm actually planning on doing Bet on It in the show.
Oh.
And he was like, done. It's done. We're doing it. And so he came. It was the nicest thing. He's the best guy in the world. Seriously. But it's funny. I was working so hard on Park Map, on writing it, on developing it, rehearsing it, that I didn't really get to think about the fact that I was going to be on stage for the first time. Of course, I was like cognizant of how special that was, but not really like emotionally cognizant of how special that was. So being on stage again for the first time and feeling the applause and singing for people and interacting with an audience in a way that I never even really got to do as Evan, because, you know, it was so scripted, and this was scripted as well, of course, but it was mine. You know, I got to really, really interact with the audience, and Bryn, there was no fourth wall whatsoever. It was this intimate space. Oh my God, I'm getting emotional right now just thinking about it, because it was like such a joyful experience, such a cathartic experience, so fun. I would do that a million times over. That was the best feeling to now get to be in front of people again. And such a huge honor to be one of the first artists back at 54 Below, the first yeah. artist that they ever live streamed at 54 Below. That was ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And that so many people got to watch it just means the world to me. Yeah, it was so much fun.
Are you planning on doing more? Like in the
it's
future?
Funny. I like the answer isn't no, but the thing is, I only have about the show is so much about how temporary things are, and you know, it's about youth, and so I feel like I only have about another 8 months where I can do this exact show before I have to change it.
yeah.
But that's reasonable, you know. I think I will whip it out every now and then, and I think it will change as I grow, which is really cool. So yeah, I think this version of Park Map is probably resting forever, but maybe there will be another version of it someday that's sort of about something else.
Because it's a part of my bucket list right now. The Canadian borders are opening in August. I was whenever it's back, I will be there.
Oh, it's so nice.
Of course. And then my follow-up question to that is Park Maps, Disney, you're obviously a very big fan. Look at the t-shirt. The swag is just there.
I know,
right? So my genuine question is, I also love Rachel Zegler. And obviously, she's an avid Disney-obsessed icon legend. So this is just me putting my hat in the ring and wishing for a vlog of you and Rachel at Disney.
Just that. We've talked about this. We've talked about it because we had a group chat for a little while of like Broadway and Broadway adjacent people who are in love with Disney. And it was like me and Rachel and Alex and I think Stephanie Stiles, Leslie Margarita and David Alpert. And I may be forgetting someone else, but, we've talked about it like 100 times. The thing is, there's a certain level of fame that you reach that makes you like a problem when you go to Disney, that like you need all the stuff. And I would imagine that Rachel's like just about to hit it. That's not to say that she can't go. That probably just means actually the perks will be even sweeter. She's literally Snow White.
Exactly.
So I'm going to actually have to call her right now. That's a great point. I was just talking to her the other day. Yeah, I would. Yeah. I think we'd have a grand old time. I think that would be really, really fun. And I would love to do that.
Love that. So if you need a videographer, listen.
Oh, thank you very much.
Of course. I'll just follow you guys around. Of course.
Andrew, what would you say were some of your dream roles that you want to see yourself portray in the future? Was Linguini, like, from Ratatouille something you ever imagined?
No, I mean, I think I had tweeted once, like, if there's ever a Ratatouille musical, I have to play Linguini or something like that. But I never really thought about it, you know?
Literally are him.
Like, I know. Just wanna say that. It's crazy. I know. It's ridiculous. I know. It's very silly. I mean, I didn't think about it. Like, of course it was. I think to be, I think originating a role is such a huge thing for me. And I think being in Disney projects is such a huge thing for me. So to get to do both of those in both Ratatouille and High School Musical is amazing. You know, to be the first person to play Linguini in the Ratatouille musical is like that I can't wrap my head around that sentence. That is, that saying that out loud is now like I have like full body chills right now. That's the craziest thing in the world. Yeah. And then to be Antoine, to be, you know, filling a character slot in a style of comedy that's never really been seen in the High School Musical universe, you know, and those movies meant so much to me growing up. So, and that's very much like my world. There was never really a character for me to like play in that universe. Of course, I did play Troy in High School Musical 2 Junior growing up, but like, I did still like, there was never really a character for me to play in that universe. So to get to make one is like the coolest thing ever. And it's just like so special to me. Going forward, I mean, I want to do more Disney projects and I want to originate more roles. I think that's those things. But I also want to continue writing and doing all the stuff. It's hard. I think Evan was such a huge one. Like, it was the end game that to have done that. I'm like, honestly, I will do anything now. I'm passionate about really anything I'm passionate about. I want to do.
That's so good. I could literally talk about musicals the entire time, which I have with most of these podcast episodes. But we got to keep it pushing, you know, because like time is flying.
Time is flying.
We're having too much fun.
Exactly. We're zooming. That's it.
Yeah, we're zooming. Yeah.
Yeah. So 2 weeks ago, you released Every Pretty Girl, which is such an amazing song. I remember I played it for the first time on Spotify in my car. Everybody on Twitter was talking about it. And I was like, wait, hold on. No sneak peeks. I don't want to hear anything. And I played it in my car. First of all, the riffs. Hello. Good morning.
Oh, thank you very much.
Wow. Felt great about myself in that moment. Also, the song is kind of like a love song from a teenage boy to his OCD, but then is also a love song from a teenage boy with love.
Yeah.
With having OCD. You describe it as kind of like your superpower, which I think is an amazing way to word it and an amazing way to approach it. For everybody out there who might have OCD or anxiety, because they could fall into the, you know, neurodivergent kind of category.
Yeah.
How did you get to that conclusion that it's your superpower, and how do you use your superpower, I guess, to serve yourself and like for good, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny. I wasn't diagnosed until I was even in Dear Evan Hansen. I didn't even know going into Dear Evan Hansen that I had OCD. I'd never been to therapy until I was in the show, and it felt, not because of the show, but because of everything and growing up and just because you should do it, I started going. And I think, obviously, there's a line in the song that's, my obsession is my power, it's my greatest weakness too, and that's incredibly true. And I know there are people with OCD and more severe or different cases of OCD that can't really relate to that, that OCD is really something that difficult for them. Right. And it is for me too, you know, it's really hard to live life with a brain like that. But also, we talk about all this stuff I've been doing during the pandemic. It's because once I get something in my head, I have to see it through. And because of the speed that my brain works at, which is not, pat myself on the back, I'm a genius. It's just like so much is always happening.
Right.
I do get all these ideas and I do want to start all these things. So I think from Znefrock starting to now, I needed an outlet for it. And I, theater has proven to be exactly the perfect one. So it's very much my superpower in that sense. Yeah. It's made me very much who I am, and I would trade a lot of it, but definitely not all of it. I'm very, very thankful for it, because it's part of who I am, and that's good. You know, it's a good thing.
Right, and it all falls back into, like you said, you've accomplished so much at your age. It comes from being wanting to be so creatively stimulated, and like you focus on these things and you make it happen. And if it probably wasn't for that, you probably wouldn't be where you are right now. Like,
100%, I would not be where I am right now. I would not have had the determination that I really do have, and the work ethic that I have, and I'm proud of myself for those things. But it's because of that OCD. It's right. Because I am literally obsessive and compulsive. So it is like it is. And I'm. It's funny. I never thought about it as OCD, because growing up in the media, it's always portrayed as, you know, neat freaks and things like that. It's not, I'm not really like that. It's more about intrusions and the that kind of determination.
Right.
So, but as soon as I heard it, just made perfect sense. And yeah, it's so nice to know, you know, to be able to readjust. And like, whenever my brain is moving a little too fast, I remember like, I'm literally neurodivergent. Like, I have OCD.
Literally.
Like,
yeah,
that's
what
this is. That's what's happening up here. It's not, you know, it's not, I'm blowing things out of proportion. It's nice to be able to say, hey, like,
yeah, it's validating in a way.
It's entirely validating. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. Now I want to commend you on your songwriting, because the
song
is
beautiful.
I cannot wait to hear more. So
good. Yeah, there's more coming.
Please. I'm begging you. I'm so ready for the new music, but I need to ask you. So, you know, when you're being vulnerable behind a character, like for example, Evan, you know, you get to like channel those emotions in some way within yourself. Sometimes, you know, some actors will connect it to their own reality in order to portray the emotion through a character. Do you think it's easier to be vulnerable behind a character like Evan, or do you think it's easier to be vulnerable as yourself with your own writing?
Oh my God, so much easier as Evan. I think with that, I got to substitute. So I was showing you myself. I don't know. It was like I was showing you a naked person, but it was someone else's body. You know what I mean?
But
it was very, I got to be totally, totally vulnerable and lay it all out there, and you never had to know.
Right.
Whereas like with my music and with Park Map, it's like, hey, this is who I am. This is the stuff that I think about on a daily basis. This is a window that you have never had and maybe shouldn't in under normal circumstances, but I need to get this out there. So especially with a song like Every Pretty Girl, especially with, you know, what Park Map was and the things that I talked about in Park Map, it was really terrifying to like believe my own words, because I'm so used to being vulnerable through Evan, and to really connect in that way is scary. It's terrifying, but it is also, I think, far more rewarding, and far more cathartic. So yeah, but it's definitely harder.
Right. I would assume so too. You know what I mean? Like, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
I guess we'll end it with the questions here, but I have one more. The hangout, where we always talk about music, and clearly music has been such an impact in your life. This is a deep philosophical question. You can take your time, but we are in a little of a rush. But how has music sort of impacted your life, and kind of has your view on music changed now writing and creating your own stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I consumed so much different kinds of music growing up, from musical theater to, you know, a more folk sound to like classic rock. And I think all of those things have somehow communed into what my music is. Like, it's very, this is not this sounds pretentious, but it just doesn't have a genre. I don't know what to call it. And nobody Eclectic. Else really knows what to call it, which is fine. It's yeah. just like, it's just my music. And so it's this weird thing where it's all kind of probably definitely related to the OCD. It's kind of just all scattered around my brain in bits and pieces, like puzzle pieces for me to put together and see what happens. So I think music is absolutely the way that I express myself. And like, I don't journal for long periods of time because I just end up writing songs and things like that. I write very like stream of consciousness. So growing up and playing instruments and being around a pretty musical family, my siblings all play instruments, was the greatest emotional gift that I could have been given in terms of an outlet. So yeah, it has completely defined me and who I am, 100%.
So I did good. Not expect to cry on this podcast today. It's fine.
This is like fourth time. It's this fine. Is my fourth time. It's fine. It's fine.
Gotta compose myself.
So nice. Yeah.
So we're gonna end it on a game, because Sunset Drive is nothing without its games. Now, I never do musical games twice in a row, but I felt like this would just be illegal to not have you sing on the podcast.
Oh, boy.
Since you're such a Disney fan, we are going to give you a few words. Any words, and you have to look within yourself in the Disney archives and come up with a song that has that word from Disney.
Oh my god. There's gonna be some like weird ones, I feel like I'm gonna toss out some like really weird ones, but let's see what happens. Oh my god, I feel like I've been preparing for this. Oh my god. Okay,
you're prepared. Of course. Yes, you're prepared. Good.
And also, we have a song in mind for each word. We're like, okay, there's a song that exists with that word. From
great,
Disney.
Right. Great.
So the first song, the word is master. Letting that simmer in your brain a little bit. Think of Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Oh my god, think Beauty and the Beast, because I know they call him master, but I'm thinking, I was the one who had it all. I was the master of my fate evermore. Oh my god.
Yes! This is all I wanted in life!
This is
all I wanted. Wait, hold on.
Anthony, you accomplished your goal.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Thank you.
Goals were accomplished.
Yeah, I wanted Joe to sing that song so bad, and he didn't know the song, so I was like, Andrew's got me in clutch. Like, he's got me.
I sang it recently on like an Instagram Live, I think, which was the weirdest thing that like somebody requested that song. I love that song.
It's such a beautiful song.
I love that song.
Let's move on to the next one. You want to say the next one, Sid?
The next word is begin.
When will my life begin? Yes.
Yes! Come on!
Yes,
wait, hold
yes,
on.
Yes,
hold
yes,
on.
Yes, yes.
We got it. Yes! Yes!
Oh my god, this is amazing.
Wow. Of course.
Wow,
of
you
course.
Guys are pulling out some cool ones. This is great. We got some tangled up in here.
We got you. The next word, please sing like a large portion of that song, because I'm going to sit there and just like soak it in. The word wind.
And you'll never hear the wolf cry to the blue corn moon, for whether we are white or copper skin, you can paint with all the voices of the mountain. That's not what it is. You can paint with all the colors of the wind. Yeah, great. I screwed up some of those words. But...
I'm gonna cry after this. Okay.
There's a cry count going on at this point. Yeah, we're at like number six, I think.
Solid six.
Oh, next word. Goodness.
The next word is whispers.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. What was the song for that one? I don't remember.
I don't even know.
I don't know.
Wait, whispers.
Oh, I got
it. Wait.
I'm having Elsa flashes.
I know. I'm yes.
Yeah.
But is it in Into the Unknown? Does she say whisper?
I can hear you.
It's on the tip of his tongue.
Yeah. I can feel it's on mine too, but I don't know.
I don't know. Wait.
is a thousand whispers.
And if I heard you, which I don't, I've no idea.
Okay, whispers. Let's move on to the next one because we're tight on time. The word rain.
Oh. There's got to be a billion, and I can't think of one.
That's totally fine.
Wait, no, hang on. No, everyone stop everything.
He's going to be on the train, and he's going to be like, oh my god, like, whispers.
Yeah.
Rain. Rain.
I don't remember that song, what the song goes through that one either.
Oh my god, no, I can
Disney
do this.
The Disney King.
Let me get rain. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
Oh my god, I feel like we stomped the Disney King.
I have literally no idea when they would talk about rain. I feel like such an idiot. And yeah, I'm going to figure out later and I'm going to be so mad and I'm going to tweet about it when this episode comes out. Oh my god.
Okay, we will wrap up today's episode because like we're so tight on time and we have 1 minute left, but...
Can I get one? Is there one more? Is there any more? Is there one? I need to finish with winning one.
Okay, the easy one that I said to Anthony was friend.
I mean, it's Pixar, but you got a friend in me. Does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
Okay.
And there you go. And there you go. Talking. 3 out of 3, a 3 out of 6, which is
oh my god,
good.
That's terrible.
But you know
that's
what?
Horrible.
You beat all the Disney games that I saw
no,
on YouTube.
No, he got four.
Four is all right.
Four out of six. Harvard would take it.
I'll take four. Yeah. And I'm going to be thinking about rain forever.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I see it in Andrew's face. He's so concentrated. But we're going to wrap today's episode because you have a train to catch in literally 45 minutes. So thank you so much, Andrew, for coming on the show and imparting wisdom and making us laugh and cry. This has been an emotional roller coaster. And I'm glad we're all on it. I'm Anthony Smith.
I'm Sid Wong.
And I'm Andrew Barth-Feldman. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, and this has been Sunset Drive. And then there you go. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Of course. You have an awesome day.
Yeah. Thank you guys. I can't wait for you to come out.